In the name of the one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Good morning, Grace Church. Someday, when I have a personal assistant, and I know a lot of priests with personal assistants, so I'm sure that's going to happen soon. My personal assistant is going to manage my calendar for me. And when a priest calls me and says, "Do you think you could fill in for me the Sunday after Pentecost?" my personal assistant is going to say, "Oh, Megan, now you can agree to that. It might sound like a good idea because you love Grace Church so much, but remember, that's Trinity Sunday." And I will say to that priest who has called me, "I'm sorry, I'm busy that day." And that will be the case for every Trinity Sunday for the rest of my career. As soon as I get that personal assistant, it's going to happen. Jonathan called me and asked me to fill in, and I was so excited. I love being here at Grace Church. You know, I have a history here. I was your youth group leader for 5 years. You sponsored me for ordination. I was married here on a day in May that felt very much like today, freezing cold and wet. And it's always a pleasure to be here with you, but yikes, is Trinity Sunday a tough day to preach? I mean, smart rectors everywhere are leaving town and getting fill-ins. So you have a very smart rector, friends. I'll be curious to see if he asked for the baptism to be on this day in another state so he could leave. You had a smart rector prior to Jonathan, because actually when I was a seminarian, Bob Brooks invited me to come back and preach here on Trinity Sunday as a seminarian. Now that's mean to do that to. I love me some Bob, but that was just not a nice thing to do to a seminarian. I'm not even sure if I had taken systematic theology yet. I had no idea what to say about the Trinity, but I stood in the pulpit. I've been kind of getting away from the pulpit lately, but I stood in the pulpit and I talked to you. I even actually remember it a little bit. I talked to you about how I had an experience of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit in this place. I talked to you about my relationship with God in terms of my relationships with all of you, because it was the best I could do. But I was thinking about being here this morning and thinking about Trinity Sunday, and I just kept wanting to kind of throw my hands up and say, I'm just not even sure where to start on Trinity Sunday. This is such a hard concept for us to wrap our minds around. And, you know, if you're not being careful, you're going to be a heretic. You're going to say something you're not supposed to say. And we just had this whole clergy day the other day where we learned about, like, the rules of the church and what happens if you break the rule. And being a heretic was one of the rules. So I want to be very careful here while I was preparing for this. So I was kind of just thinking about what to do here. And I know that let me ask this question. Are there priests here today? I know Grace Church often has a priest or two hanging out there. Clergy spouse, it's almost like the same thing. You pretty much, no clergy spouses either? No priests? Yeah, we have a couple. See, you're sneaking back there. I can see you. How about, like, people who have went to seminary, have a master's in divinity or a master's in theology? A couple of you. Shoot. Okay, that's good. I'm not downing the fact that you've done that. But if I'm saying something that's a little off, you can just raise your hand and correct me. It's always nice to know there's not people there that can correct you. So anyway, I'm thinking about being here. I'm trying to figure out what to talk about our Father, Son, and Holy Spirit and the complexity of this. And I just decided we're just going to dive right into these heresies. I'm not one to usually talk about heresies. Really, I try to avoid theology at all costs whenever I can when I'm giving a sermon. But I thought you guys could handle this. So we're going to have a little fun, and I'm hoping that you're able to go there with me. Can we have some fun? Can we play a game? Anybody? It means you have to loosen up. Just everybody has to be, like, a little loose. Okay, just wiggle your shoulders. Okay. So when I was your youth group leader, I used to play a game with the kids in the youth group. We would play two truths and a lie. Has anyone ever heard of this game? It was a way to get to know one another. So we would sit in a circle, and you would say two true things about yourself and one lie, and then the rest of the people in the circle had to try to guess which one was the lie and which one was the truth. So I would say, "I broke my arm when I was in the third grade. I got to shake hands with Bill Clinton, and I went to a taping of the Geraldo show." And which one do you think is the lie? You can yell it out. What is it?
Number three.
I never broke my arm. So there. Okay, so that's the way the game is played. So we're going to play a version of this game today, but we're going to play two heresies and a truth. I couldn't say two truths and a heresy, because to be honest with you, there's a lot more heresies about the Trinity than there are truths about the Trinity. So just to give you a heads up, that's what we're dealing with. So here's what's going to happen. I am going to read off three statements. Two of them are heresies, and one is a truth, and you're going to try to identify them. This is not a real quiz, okay? So I don't mind if you get any of these wrong and no one is, like, judging. This is really just all in good fun. This is so you can understand the challenge of the preacher on Trinity Sunday. Are you in? Thank you. Okay, here's our first set. So, number one, there is eternal coexistence between the three persons of the Trinity. Got it? There is eternal coexistence between the three persons of the Trinity. Number two, Jesus was a man that God gave power to, then adopted him as his son. Number three, God created the Son, and the Son created the Holy Spirit, and that's how we got the three members of the Trinity. Which one's the truth? Oh, you're so good. See, you don't even need me to be preaching to you. That's excellent. The second one is called, they actually have names for all of these heresies, y'all. Somebody spent time on this. The second one is called adoptionism, if you want to tuck this away for later. This is great dinner conversation. The third one is called eunomianism. Eunomianism. Am I saying that right? Eunomianism. Okay, so you're going to avoid that. Good. So far, you're off to a good start. Second one. Number one, Christ is actually the most significant person in the Trinity, which is why we call ourselves Christians. Number two, we talk about three different members of the Trinity, but there's really one God in one person. Number three, the three persons of the Trinity are intrinsically, eternally inseparable. What's the truth? Oh, you have a mix here. See, this one's tricky. Number three, the three persons of the Trinity are intrinsically, eternally inseparable. We do call ourselves Christians, but it's not because we think Christ was more important than the other members of the Trinity. And it's one God in three persons, not one person. That's Unitarianism. And I can't even say these. Christomenism is the first one. Okay? Are we learning something here? A little bit? Next. One. There are two equal forces of God, the Father and the Son. The Holy Spirit is the way these forces communicate with us. Number two, there are actually four persons of the Trinity because Mary has attributes that make her godlike. And number three, the three persons of the Trinity are one God, distinct but not separate. That's kind of an easy one, right? That was kind of an easy one. Yes, three. The first is dualism, that there's two and the Holy Spirit is not a real part of the Trinity. The second is quad theism. Well, we won't get into all of that, but yes, we just have the three persons of the Trinity. All right, you're doing pretty good. We have one more. Are you participating like you promised? Okay, just checking. I can't hear you that much. Okay, good. All right. One, Jesus was always the Son of God, but as God's Son, he exists in deference to the Father, who is greater in power. Two, God is one person who takes on three roles or modes, like water, ice, and steam. Three, God is ultimately beyond our understanding, and the Trinity is part of the great mystery of our faith.
Three.
Good job. Okay, so that gives you a sense. Our game is finished. I hope you're okay with that. I can make up another game for later if you want more. But I hope that gives you a sense of the challenge of trying to talk about the Trinity in our church and as a preacher. And I joked on Facebook earlier this week that it just feels like I'll be playing dodgeball with heresies. It's like you don't want to say anything at all because you're afraid you might say the wrong thing. And you want to speak the truth about what we know and believe about God. So I want to offer you my truth about the Trinity. And that is that we have a God that will go to any length to be in relationship with us. We have a God who will do whatever it takes to reach us, to communicate with us, to love us, to guide us, to show us the way. I am never going to understand the theology of the Trinity, even with my Master's of Divinity in my back pocket. I am always going to be concerned about which heresy I'm potentially going to step on or speak or say if I even try to explain it. And it's one thing to explain it to you. It's way hard to explain it to children, which I've attempted on several occasions as well. I'm never going to be able to get it. But friends, I'm not sure if getting it, if understanding it is the point. The point is that we have a God that yearns to be in relationship with us and tries in many ways. And that is why most preachers end up talking about that relationship. It's why most preachers just go ahead and say, it is a mystery, but this is about how we are in relationship with God. I've been thinking a little bit about actually a personal relationship of mine this week, because I mentioned that I was married here in this church. I was married 6 years ago last Sunday, and it was a cold and wet and rainy day. A wonderful day, nonetheless. We unfortunately had plans for a reception in an outdoor pavilion out at the camp, ECC, where I'm the director, so that was chilly, but it just means that you dance more. But in celebration of our anniversary, my husband and I went out for dinner the other night, and we spent some time reflecting on our marriage and on the things we had done together, on our successes together, the things that we were proud of, the things that we had done that were really exciting, and we spent some time thinking about the challenges, which of course had come with our relationship. And it was a sweet moment. It was a sweet opportunity for us to spend some time reflecting on that relationship. And so actually what has happened for me, in addition to lamenting about the challenge of heresies when you preach on Trinity Sunday, what's happened for me is that it's been an invitation for me to reflect on my relationship with God. Because, again, that is what the Trinity is all about. How God is in relationship with us. So I couldn't help but remember, and I want to share this story with you briefly about perhaps my earliest and profound memory of my relationship with God, when it started, if you would. And I was actually at the Episcopal Conference Center when I was a young person. The first time I ever went, I was 12 years old. My mom made me go to summer camp. I wasn't crazy about it. And then I did make one friend who made me promise to come back the next year. So I came back the next year to see this friend. And something just kind of magical happened the next year. I was in junior high at that point. I'm not sure how many of you remember junior high. I think it is a very challenging time. You're trying to figure out who you are and who you're going to be. It's pretty easy to compare yourself to the people on either side of you. So I was having a rough go of things in junior high, and something just happened to me when I got out to the camp. There was just this incredible community there. I made so many friends in such a short period of time. I saw the friend that I had made the previous year, and she introduced me to all these other people. And in a matter of days, I felt like I was in a community that was changing me and changing my life. So I was just kind of reveling in that experience, and I was walking across the field at the camp one day. I mean, I'm 12, 13 years old, I think. I'm walking across the field at the camp, and I just stopped dead in my tracks. And I said, there has to be a God, because without a God, a place like this simply could not exist. This kind of community could not exist. And there we are with the mystery of God in our lives. If you've ever had anyone ask you why you believe in God, it's all about some experience that you've had like that one. Some time where you have felt your heart open up, where you have just been in a thin space and you have felt that sense of divine, and you have a knowing in you that's far beyond any theology you can read in a book, that's far different from any potential heresy that you could say, but something that has moved you and changed you, and you have a deep, deep knowledge of the presence of God, of the existence of God. I actually think when I was preaching here as a seminarian, I wasn't that far off. I might have been a heretic that day, but the point was that I was talking about the relationship that I had had with all of you and the experience of God that I have had in this place over and over and over again. The relationships I formed with the people that I was sitting with in the pews, the experiences of serving others that I had with our youth group, I'll tell you, hearing the choir sing every time. I might complain about Trinity Sunday, but that holy, holy, holy hymn, ugh, every time. You know, just when you feel your heart open and you just know that you are catching a glimpse of the divine. So on this Trinity Sunday, I want to invite you to take a minute to reflect on your relationship. reflect on those times. I think they're easy for us to forget sometimes when we're just going through the daily grind, doing what has to be done, checking off the to-do list. But I want to invite you to reflect on those moments where you have truly been moved and touched by the divine, wherever that has been, whoever you have been with. And know, friends, that that is your experience of the Trinity. That is God doing whatever it takes to be in relationship with you, to communicate with you, to guide you, and to love you. Amen.